So how you guys doing? Good? Can you hear me now? All right. I was 18 and living in Japan as a missionary kid. My dad was a missionary there. My dad had been in the Navy, and then he got out. He went to Bible college, felt that that's what God wanted him to do, so he went to the mission field. I'm living there. I was there from the age of 12 to about 18, 19 years old. And I didn't know what to do with my life. Do I come back and go to school for computer science, or do I go to seminary? And this choice seemed like the biggest thing in the world, not to mention, who do I date? You know, who should I go out with? Who should I not go out with? And then when I get here, what job should I take? What job should I not take? So many choices. I feel like that age from 18 to like 25 is like the hardest stage that I've ever experienced in my life. Now, I'm 32 now, so, and those of you guys who are older probably know that there's some other milestones that are coming that are going to be difficult. But for a lot of you guys here tonight, that you're kind of right in the throes of that. And for those of you who have been through that 18 to 25 stage, you probably look back at that time and say, if I would have handled that better, perhaps I wouldn't be where I'm at now. And there's a lot of tension in those years. A lot of tension in those years. I felt it every day. Am I making the right choice? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And so I would ask God, and I would ask preacher people, right? Because they're going to know what God says, what I should do with my life. How do I know what God wants me to do with my life? And I wanted to do what God wanted because I was a Christian, you know? And I didn't want to pick wrong, because if I picked wrong, then I would have a sucky life, right? That's what I was thinking. That was my thought process. If I picked the wrong thing, I could get messed up. And it would be my own fault because I didn't do what God wanted, right? So to kind of illustrate this, I need some volunteers tonight. Rachel, would you like to come up? No? Okay, I didn't think so. Jimmy, you're always up for something fun. Come on, Jimmy. I need two more. I'll give you the opportunity to raise your hand, and then I'm just going to randomly pick people. Ian, come on. It'll be fun. I need a girl. I need a girl to make it fun and awkward. Let's see. A girl, a girl, a girl. Caitlin. Thank you. Caitlin's coming on up. Now, how you guys doing tonight? You good? No tea? You don't like tea? It's okay. God still loves you. We're a little iffy though now. Okay? Just so you know. Okay. So here's the deal. This represents a letter that I would write to God in my prayer, okay? And so I'm going to go ahead and open this and read this. You guys can stand there awkwardly and look at me while I do this, okay? This is to keep me honest, right? Okay. Everybody thinks we're doing a magic trick. We're not. Okay, so here's this letter from God, or to God. It says, Dear God, okay? Now imagine this represents me, you, kind of probably represents some of you guys. Dear God, I really want to do the right thing. I feel like I'm interested in some stuff, but I don't know if that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm scared. I may not be making the right choice. I would really like it if you would help me make the following decisions. Number one, where to go to school? Number two, who do I date and marry? Number three, what job should I take? And number four, when should I do all these things? Signed, sincerely, scared and confused in Uniontown. Okay? How many of you guys would like an answer to this? Yes? Okay. Well, it just so happens that we have some answer letters over here, and I'm going to give you three the opportunity to pick an answer letter. So, Caitlin, since you're a lady, you can go first. Just pick either one, whatever you want, one, two, or three. She picks number three. Don't open it yet. Okay? Ian, you're younger, so you can go ahead and pick another one, you know? We'll defer. One or two? Two, he picks two. And then Jimmy's got number one. So Jimmy, you're going to go first. I want you to go ahead and open that up and then read it right into this microphone, because it's going to be fun. We're going to have an answer. This will be great. Read it nice and loud, nice and loud.
D. Dear Scared and Confused, I was planning to give you an answer in your Bible reading plan. Unfortunately, you didn't read far enough into the plan, so you picked the wrong school. Sad face. Since you picked the wrong school, you will meet the wrong person and get divorced young. This leads to depression and addiction to low-budget Netflix movies. I still love you, just wish you hadn't wasted your life. Love, God.
All right, Jimmy, you can keep that. Go ahead. You know, tough luck. Better luck next time. Okay, who's got number two? You got number two? Go ahead, read up. You go ahead and be seated. It's over. It's done. This is great. Nice and loud, Ian. Nice and loud.
Dear Scared and Confused, I thought you'd get the hint about where to go to school because the right school has your favorite color in the school colors. Who could have missed that? Apparently, you. Now that you picked the wrong school, you will miss the job application and won't get married at all. You will end up living in a van down by the river. Not kidding. You can't believe you missed the sign. I had so much planned for you. Love, God.
All right. Thanks, Ian, so much. I hope that helped you out, bud. Go ahead. You can have a seat. All right, Caitlin, you're last. Here you go.
You're scared and confused. I'm so glad you wrote. You have been making all the right choices. The other night when you dreamed you were in Jurassic Park and had to find a way to escape, you correctly interpreted that you are supposed to leave your current school. Okay. I will. So glad you listened. The next person you meet in a green jacket at the student union will be your soulmate. The third job application you put in will be the one that leads to the fulfilling career. Wait till you make manager to have kids, but after that, it will be smooth sailing. You will be blessed with fame, fortune, family, and fun. Love, God.
All right, great. Finally, someone makes the right choices. Thank you, Caitlin. Now, this is humorous, and God did not write the letters. I wrote the letters, just so you know, disclaimer, you know. But how many of you feel like that's kind of how it works, right? That was how I felt it worked. When I was 18 and going through my early 20s, you know, making these decisions, this is kind of how I felt like it worked. If I pick the wrong one, it's over. It's over. I've made the wrong choice. I picked the wrong girl to date. I picked the wrong school, the wrong major. Hello, you know. Maybe I'm going to the wrong church. Maybe I'm, you know, doing the wrong thing, and then I'm not going to get the blessings of God in my life. I thought God's blessings are tied to a set of choices, okay? I thought God's blessings are tied to a set of choices, school, career, dating, and family. And then if I pick right, then God will bless me with these things, right? God will bless me. My handwriting is so beautiful. That wasn't a joke. I'm offended. We'll talk later. Fame, fortune, family, and fun, right? The four F's of life, okay? God will bless me with fame, fortune, family, and fun if I make the right choices. And you know what? You probably have the same concept, but you're a lot more spiritual than me, okay? Maybe you're not really looking for these things in life. These aren't what really is making you happy. What you want is you want to follow God and just make God happy. And then he will bless you with fame, fortune, family, and fun, right? I talk to people all the time, and nobody ever comes to me and says, you know what, Ron? I feel like God is leading me to take a low-end job and live a meager existence. Nobody ever says that. Now I might hear people say, you know what? I feel like God's just kind of put me in this place and I'm going to live in poverty and, you know, I'm disabled, so I'm just going to watch TV all day. I hear that. That's not God's plan either, okay? But most of the time people say, I feel like God wants to bless my family with money. I feel like God wants to bless me with a marriage. I feel like I've met the right person. I feel like the right person is out there. I feel like maybe this is the degree I should get or the place I should go, and I feel like this is what God wants for me, and it's always good stuff, okay? Most of the time, people aren't like, I feel like God wants me to be miserable and alone down by the river, you know? That's not what people say, and so kind of tied into this is some form or combination of fame, fortune, family, and fun, you know? I feel like God wants me to have fun in life. Maybe I'm not going to be really rich, but I'm going to have family and I'm going to have fun. Or maybe I'm not going to be famous, but I'm going to have a family and have fun. You know, we won't have money. Or maybe I'm going to be really rich and famous, but I'll never have fun. Okay. You know, but we have this combination that if I unlock the secret algorithm, the secret code of the things that God wants for my life, then it will unlock his blessings for me. And this model, in this model, our blessings kind of hang on when, questions like when, where, and what. And I have to be in God's place at God's time doing God's thing to get God's blessing, okay? And I believe this. This is where I was at when I was 18. This is where I've been at different stages of my life. You probably heard this kind of thing before. And it sounds true. There's some truth to that because we should do the things that honor God, right? And he certainly doesn't bless us when we're not doing things that honor him. And so, or when we're doing things that dishonor him. So there's like a connection that, but we think that our God's will, God's plan, his direction for our life is tied up in this whole thing. But the truth is, this is a broken model. This is a broken model. And I want to give you guys some relief, but before you get relief, you're going to have to hear some hard truth. Okay? So let's go to the Bible and hear what the Bible has to say, because I know you guys really don't care what Ron has to say, because he cheats it at Nerf Wars. So let's see what the Bible has to say, okay? The Bible in Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read a couple verses here. Verse 1, Colossians chapter 3, I'm in the ESV, I'm on page 984 if you have an ESV. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Okay, we're going to stop right there. Okay? Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Seek the things that are above. Now, what's it say? First it says, seek the things that are above. That's set your goals. The things that you're seeking for, set your goals on things that are above, right? What do we think that means? Heavenly, right? That's where God is. He's in heaven. Things that are heavenly, things that are godly, okay? And then set your mind on things that are above. The things that you think about should be otherworldly. Things that are godly, things that are heavenly, things that are like God. Okay, so some of you guys say, I am. I'm thinking about those things, I'm a Christian. Look, I'm at Oasis, I'm at church, okay? I'm doing a little bit of that. Because for some of you guys, the model is not, I have to get all the decisions right, but the more decisions I get right, the more that I do some churchy stuff, some religious stuff, some God stuff, well then, you know, God's gonna kind of scratch my back. I scratch yours, you scratch mine. I do the church thing a little bit, and then I get a little bit of this. So maybe God gives me a little bit more money. Or I get a little bit better job because now I'm going to Oasis or because I read my Bible. And we think kind of along these lines, the same model, same thing, okay? In my plan, I set my mind on things above, right? I'm a Christian kid. My dad was a pastor. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to set my mind on things above and he's going to reward me with things below, okay? I get the best of both worlds then. I set my mind on things above, I'm going to go to church and pray, and then God will give me things below, right? I'll get the family, and he'll make sure that I have a job where I can pay my bills, and You know, maybe even I'll be a famous preacher someday. Who knows? Look, I'm serving God. Who knows? And I'm going to get to have fun, obviously, because I'm following God with my life. And so I'm going to set my mind on things above and get the things below. Like Hannah Montana, get the best of both. You're only laughing because you know the song, all right? Gotcha. Okay, so like, you know, you get the best of both worlds. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to have all of the stuff. I get this walk with God plus the stuff below. So why won't this work? What's wrong with that? That seems like a good plan, Ron. I'm honoring God with my life. I'm reading the Bible. I'm doing the Jesus church stuff. And he gives me blessings. The four F's of life. What's wrong with that? Well, it sounds awesome. It sounds like a great plan. Like, if that's the plan, sign me up, okay? Because I could do this. Like, I could totally go to church once a week. I mean, Oasis is cool. It's not like old church, you know? It's like, this is cool. I could do this. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is what it says in the next verse. It says in verse number 3, for you have died. And we're just going to stop there. For you have died. You've died. You died. You're dead. Why don't we take a new car to a funeral viewing for the deceased? Hey, you know, you're here, you're dead. I brought you this new car. Just gonna stick it right in there. I know you like cars. Why don't we do that? Why don't we do that? Why don't we pick up women in the graveyard? Because they all have cold personalities, right? Oh, that was just bad. Why? Why don't we look for dates in the cemetery? Our life mate, my soulmate, is right there, 1950 to 19. Why? Why don't we do that? Because they're dead. They're dead. They can't use a car. There's no life there. There's no relationship to be had. There's no life in that. And the thing is, I thought that my life had to incorporate these things. I mean, what's wrong with the little thing? What's wrong with having money? Okay, maybe I don't want to have a fortune. I don't got to be rich, but I need, you know, some money. And so what's wrong with that? Ron. Family is in the Bible. It's focused on the family. I mean, come on, there's a Christian thing here. How could this, you know, not be in God's plan? And certainly, like, come on, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of fun. How can this not be part of life? The problem is, I'm dead. And so all this stuff is dead with me. I can't have fame because I'm dead. I can't have fortune because I'm dead. I can't have a family because I'm dead. And I can't have any fun because I'm dead. I'm dead. My life is gone. It says, set your minds on things above, not on things in the earth, for you have died. You have died. You have died. And so the life that you thought you had, and I want you to imagine this, and this is very sad. This is kind of gruesome. But if you lost someone close to you, all the things that they were going to be able to do, they can no longer do. All the dreams that they have are over, right? I mean, that's what makes losing someone so close to us so very, very, very difficult. I've been dealing with the grieving process. I've been learning about the grieving process as our family just lost a close one. I've been learning what that's like to carry that, to walk through the five stages of grief. Denial, this can't be real, this can't be happening. Anger, I'm so frustrated about this, I'm so ticked off. How could God take that away from me? How could life be taken away? How do they deserve that? All those things of anger, right? The bargaining. Well, Maybe I should have did this. If I should have done that, and that's the whole, 18 to 25. If you're past that stage and you're looking back, if I would have dated that other person, if I would have went to that school, if I wouldn't have done that, if I would have chosen that job, or if I do, and to start bargaining, God, okay, I know I got a DUI, but Lord, if you will help me out in court, I will do whatever you want, God. I'll be good. I'll be awesome. Dear God, I know my girlfriend dated me, but if you will help me get back together or find someone else, I don't want to be alone. Dear God, I know I'm like single right now. Lord, if you'll send that person into my life, then I will follow you. We bargain. We bargain all this stuff as we start to feel like we're losing out. I remember, I think it was probably last year, I used to love NBA when I was in high school. I used to love basketball. Basketball, basketball, basketball. And part of it was because I was the tallest guy around. I mean, I lived in Japan, so Japanese are kind of shorter. And so it was like awesome. Like I was just like, woo, at 5'8", I was like dominating. Yeah, And it was so cool. And I played basketball like 4 hours a day, 6 hours a day. I played basketball nonstop. And I loved playing basketball. And I kind of thought maybe, I mean, I looked at Is it Kerr, the guy that played on the Bulls? There was a guy named Steve Kerr, right? Is that him? Anybody remember that? He was the only white guy, I think, on the Bulls team. He was kind of short, and he would make like three-pointers. I looked at him. I'm like, I could be that guy. I could play professional basketball. And then, like, last year, I'm watching NBA, and I'm sitting in my chair, and I'm like 31. And I'm like looking at all these guys, and like I'm older than the old players in the NBA. And I'm like, that's never gonna happen, Ron. Like I accepted that before, like that wasn't my life path, but I hadn't accepted that couldn't have been my life path ever. And it's like this grieving process, like I'm never gonna be able to do that. I'm never gonna be that good. I'm never going to achieve that dream in that area. And it's this grieving process when that loss happens. Maybe you have a soulmate or you're dating someone for a long time and then you break up and you realize, that's over. And it's so painful. It's so painful. Or you have a family situation. And you're like, my parents are never getting back together. It's never going to happen. They're already dating new people. I'm never going to have the relationship with my dad that I thought I was going to have. Or my grandfather that I wanted to spend that time with is gone. And the pain, about our age, is when you start to experience loss. And you grieve. And you grieve. And that's part of the process. And after bargaining, there's depression, which just kind of sinks in. I feel like I've been there recently. It's where it's like things look futile. It's like, why try? This is difficult. And then finally, the last stage is acceptance, where I accept the new normal. This is the new normal. And that's what we have to do. This is the real world I live in. I will live on in the new normal. So what does the new normal look like? If this is not life, if this does not define life, if life is not included in this, if doing a certain set of decisions, making the right decisions down God's decision tree, if that doesn't equal this, then what's the new normal? What's the new normal look like? What's my purpose for existing? Colossians 3, verse 3 through 4 gives us our first answer. It says, for you have died and your life is hidden. Your life is hidden. That's the good news. It's not that your life doesn't exist. It's that this life that you thought was the option, that this life that we thought was everything to us, this isn't it, but your life does exist. It's just hidden. You have to find it. You have to look for it. And it's going to tell us where it's at. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. I mean, somebody has your life. Christ has your life. And it's hidden. And if you look for it, you can find it with God. Your life is hidden in Christ with God. In fact, In this box is your life. It was hidden the whole time, right? You thought it was on the board? It's magic. Are you blown away? You're blown away, right? Think about it. In this box is your life. I'm not opening it. No, not yet. Our life is hidden. It's like that. It's in the place that we would think to look last. Because we're looking for this, we're looking to unlock it, that there's an algorithm of decisions, and it's not there. It's in some random box in this weird place. It's with Christ in God. What does that mean? What exactly does that mean to be with Christ in God? It means you won't find it in a list or a set of choices. That your true life, your existence. And let me read the rest of this. It says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Now, let me explain to you what that means, and then we'll be done. The in glory part is really cool. And the whole thing about Christ, who is your life, is really cool. Here's how it works. Your life, your purpose for existing is Jesus. You're like, whoa, I don't get that. Your purpose for existing is God, is Jesus. And the closer you get to God, it's not about being near God, it's about being in God. Completely in the center of who he is. Romans chapter 12 tells us this, that we should renew our minds and transform it. That we should transform our minds by the transform, we should be trans. I'm just going to read it. Romans chapter 12 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why? Because your life is dead, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you might discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, as you get close to God, and your whole purpose for existence is to get close to God, closer to God, closer to God, because your life is Christ. Christ is your life. So it's not a matter of do the things that make God happy and then he'll twitch his nose and give you the stuff, because the stuff will never make you appear in glory. What does that mean? Here's what it means. There is something in the universe. There's something that you were created to do. There's something that when you do it, you light up and everybody sees it. It is your passion. It is your purpose. It is something that you can become world class at. It's not basketball for me. Okay? But there is something that when you do that, when you find that passion, that thing that God has created you to do, you will light up. But only if you are doing it with him. And your purpose isn't even that thing. That's just your passion. But you will shine, you will glow. The Bible says when Moses came down from the mountain, his face shone and it glowed. And people were like freaked out. Okay? It's like your Care Bear stare, you know? You got your thing. And when your purpose in life is to get as close to God as possible, and your passion collides with that, then you will shine God's glory. And people will not be able to not notice. It will blow them away. Say, wow, how do they do that? How do they make that look so easy? How did you know that was what you were supposed to do? How could I not know? Because I was so close to God. That's what just came out. That's what came out. I can't do anything else because that's what comes out when I get close to God. That's what I was put on the planet to do. No doubt in my mind, No ifs, ands, or buts. This is what God has for me to do. Because when I'm with him, this just comes out of me. And yeah, it takes work. And yeah, I've practiced for years, but it just gets sweeter and sweeter because the closer I am to him, the better I do this thing. And when I do this thing and I'm with God, it's just like, oh, I can't even explain it. It fulfills me. It's way better than all the stuff on the list. And sometimes this stuff happens because you are so good at it. But that doesn't even matter. That's so second, third, fourth class. It's not even on the list because being close to God and doing your thing is what you're here for. That's your life, because your life is in Christ. And when you do this thing, it's for his honor and for his glory, and you shine him through you. That's your purpose. And you will never, ever find what your purpose in life is. In fact, you will get letters like that, and you will waste your life if you do not focus on getting as close to God as possible, on getting to know him. Not so that he could tell you what right decision to make, but just because that is the purpose. That's where your life is. You're never going to find your life hidden unless you get close to him. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for each and every person who came out tonight. God, challenge us. Lord, I pray that your power would touch each and every person here tonight, that they would know that the words from your scripture are true. Lord, I pray that we'd feel a spark of truth that you want to know them deeply, intimately. And that's probably pretty scary right now for some of us. That sounds weird, it sounds crazy, it's strange, and I'm sure people don't even know if they want to sign up for that. But God, this week, I pray that you would speak to them. They would hear you calling. They would step out on a limb. Read some of what you wrote. Pray to you. It would help us take steps closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue next week and see how we do this. How do we get close to God and what that looks like? Okay? So I encourage you to be here. You don't want to miss that.